So today, I'm going to do something a little different. Today, I want you to think of your life, your journey. We're going to continue the Christmas story. There's so many aspects to the Christmas story. I mean, we can go back to Isaiah and the prophecies. We talked about that, that Emmanuel, that God is with us, that Jesus in the flesh, and it's been prophesized with over 300 different prophecies. We talked about that last week. But today, I want you to take a personal journey. This is about you today. This is about your journey. And we're going to use Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the husband of Elizabeth, who is older than, I used to tell kids, older than my grandmother, and she's going to have a baby. Because God can do all things. So we're going to talk about the story of Zechariah and his visitation. But I want you to think of your visitation. Now maybe you had a visitation. Maybe you've had this supernatural experience. Maybe it's been a little more subtle than that. Maybe it came in a time of prayer. Maybe it came at the time you gave your life. Maybe it came at your baptism. Maybe it came in a variety of ways and a variety of times. But we have all had a visitation. One of the songs that we sang just recently as we were praising is to open up our eyes. And I would imagine right now, if we open up our eyes, we'll see a visitation right now. I'll tell you, my heart, my mood, my mind, everything changed with our praise today. And that's been happening each week, and I give God all the glory for that. Because there have been some burdens going on lately, and you carry that, right? We carry that with us, don't we? We don't just magically get rid of it. I'll tell you, this thing is magical, though, as we just, in prayer, give it up. So I want you to think about God preparing your way. And I'm going to give you one word for every verse that we go through. And I want you to look at that word with your life, and I'll try to help you along a little bit. So we're going to use Luke chapter 1. Starting with verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So my word for you with that is heritage. So Zechariah has this amazing heritage. That priestly division was a fourth level of kings after the King David. His great-grandfather was the king of all of Israel. And Elizabeth is coming from a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. Now, I mean, we're going way back now, right? And so both of these two individuals have this amazing heritage. They have this lineage. And if you ever read Matthew, and you read the chronological order of Jesus, and if you can get through it, if you can pronounce all the names, there is this whole lineage that we have, because of course we have Jesus in us, so we have our own lineage here, right? We have our own heritage. And in Hebrews it says there's a great cloud of witnesses. You know, we are connected to every believer, past, present, and future. We have this lineage. We have a heritage. We have our own personal family heritage, but we have this Jesus heritage. So your first word today is heritage. Continuing in verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. So in other words, they knew what God was calling them to do, and they did it. I'm going to say that again. They knew what God was calling them to do, which many of us all know what God calls us to do, but they did it. And that is where the challenge comes in, that we do, that's what James talks about, that we do what the word says. And so they were obedient. So your first word was heritage, and your second word here is obedient. And we could do some soul searching on that one, couldn't we? I know I can. About how obedient am I? When God interrupts my day and tells me to go talk to somebody and I'm in a hurry and I don't really have time to go do that, or somebody calls me in the middle of the night, or I get a text, or there's another crisis going on, or maybe it's just being obedient and following his commandments, you know, the Big Ten. You know, how obedient am I on a day-to-day basis? Well, Elizabeth and Zechariah were very obedient, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were very old. And I mean, we're talking very old. We're talking like 80, 90 years old, old, old. We're talking about physically impossible to have a child. We're talking about, we use this all the time in our life group, they were challenged. I like that word. I like that word challenged. That's our word here, is challenged. Because challenge means you can overcome a challenge. Challenge means that God can do something about it. It's not a problem. It's a challenge. There's a big difference when we call it a problem, because a problem just weighs us down. But a challenge gets us up and ready to go and face that challenge. So they were challenged. He was chosen by Lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So Zechariah, it's his turn. He's chosen by Lot. By Lot means that they pick the smallest stick, and whoever gets that stick would be the one who will go in by Lot, by chance. It was going to be, but it wasn't really by chance now, was it? Because Zechariah was supposed to go into that temple that day, because there was somebody waiting for Zechariah that day. Something's going to happen that day. And so we need to be ready for when God has something that's going to happen. He was chosen. Do you know that you are chosen? Do you know that you are chosen when we give out these prayer requests today of all these neighbors? You were chosen to give out that prayer request. Do you know that Debbie and Mike were chosen to tell us about Nathaniel so that we could pray for Nathaniel so things could change around? Do you know that you were chosen to talk to your neighbor? Do you know that you were chosen to be here right now? We are chosen by God for every opportunity that he gives us, for everything that comes our way. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So Zechariah is inside the temple, okay? He was chosen. He's going in to do his duties. But outside, all these people are praying for him. I'm going to tell you, it's all those people praying for him that is really the power going on here. Do you know that there have been people who have been praying for you? Your moms, your dads, your grandparents, even your kids are praying for you. For me, I am so blessed because there's so many people praying for me as a pastor of this church. I hear it all the time that, hey, pastor, we're praying for you. They don't even know what they're praying for, but they're just praying for me. And thank God they are praying for me because I need it. And we are all being prayed for right now. Do you know that you have people praying for you right now? Do you know that God is hearing those prayers and he's ready to answer? You are prayed for. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And here it is, the visitation. Now maybe we didn't get to see Gabriel. Maybe we didn't even get to see an angel. Maybe we didn't get to see the wings and then the glorious light. Maybe not like the shepherds, like we sang about joyful, joyful. That we didn't get to see the skies explode yet. But I told you before in the book of Revelation, it talks about that day when Jesus comes on the clouds and we will all see him simultaneously from here and in China and in Russia and in Mexico. All simultaneously, we will see him coming in those clouds. But we can have a visitation right here, right now. That song that that praise that we gave about opening up our eyes. I tell you, we just need to open up our spiritual eyes. And right now, if we opened up our spiritual eyes, we would see in this room angels. We would see Jesus sitting right next to us. We would see God our Father right here in this room. We would see the Holy Spirit, that glow. People have been talking to me lately about a glow, that they feel like they have a bit of a glow going on. And as we get closer and closer to Christmas, I hope we see more and more glowing. And I'm not talking about Christmas lights. We glow because we have that presence of the Lord in us. But when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Fear. Fear is an awesome force. Fear is something that we need. We need to be afraid of some stuff, man. We really do. We need to be wise about some things. We need to take some precautions. We need to be careful. But fear can also be our worst enemy. For one thing, our adrenaline kicks in and we get into this fight and flight and all of a sudden everything's kicking in like we're going to face a tiger or something. And there's no tiger there. But our body is going on overtime and is stressing us out. Can I get an amen? And fear is not always real. Hear that. Fear is not always real. It can be real on another level. It's real to us. It sure is real to us. But what we are afraid of is not always, you know, he's afraid of an angel. There's nothing to fear. And that's exactly, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." So not only is there nothing to fear, but his prayer is being answered. And his wife, who is old and way past childbirth, is going to have a child. The thing that they have most wanted, they're going to be given. You know, Mike handed out this little thing to Mary and I about what do we want from Christmas. I told him, I'm going to put down a Porsche. He said, okay, you'll get a Porsche. I said, I'm not talking about a little matchbox car either. He said, okay, it won't be a matchbox car. And he finally said to me, you may not have a key. I said, well, wait a minute. You're a bad Santa. What is it that you wish for? What is it that you need? What is it that you need answered? And believe me. I believe me. God's not going to always answer it according to our wishes. Nor should he. They've been praying, you got to figure, they're 90, man. They've been at this for a long time, asking for this child. And finally, you got to figure, it's about, what, 70 years that they've been asking? Abraham did the same thing. He was asking forever. And finally, it was granted. But it's not always granted exactly as we ask. But God will answer our prayers the way he sees fit. And the way he sees fit is always better. It's always his timing, like we talked about Judy and that surgery. His timing is perfect. Not only will you have a child, but the angel says to him, he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. What that told me is that he's destined. He's destined for greatness. John the Baptist was destined for greatness. Before he was even born, he was destined for greatness. And he would bring amazing joy to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who thought there was no chance, never, that they were going to have a child. And can you imagine how they felt when they finally had their own child? I bet they were a little overwhelmed, too, because, you know, when you get older, it gets a little harder. But, I mean, they were ready to take on that challenge and muster it up. And John the Baptist has a destiny. Do you know that you have a destiny? We have a destiny. We've been living it out. We've been doing this journey for a while. You already are accomplishing your destiny. We just don't always know it. The angel continues, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink. And he will be filled. Repeat that with me. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Now, we can have the Holy Spirit after we're born. But John was given the Holy Spirit before he even came out of the womb. He is destined. He is special. But remember that we can have the Holy Spirit as easy as simply saying, "Dear Holy Spirit, fill me." We simply need a little reminder. We simply need some Jesus, and then we can get some Holy Spirit. And as we have Jesus, the great Emmanuel, as we celebrate Christmas of him becoming in flesh, he also left so he can give us the Holy Spirit of God. This is the gospel. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He has a purpose. John has a purpose. He has a reason. There's something going on here. There's a bigger plan happening with John. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. I had to think about this one. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, preparing, and that he's going to prepare others, and we are to prepare others, that one is pretty obvious. You are being made ready to prepare somebody else. That's what John's whole mission, that's what his whole job was. But what is with this? To turn the hearts of the parents to their children. What does that mean? I've been struggling with that all week. It finally came to me this morning. And I'm sure there's more than one interpretation, because there always is. This is a living word. But I think it meant that we're supposed to get out of our own self and look at the next generation. We're supposed to look at our children. We're supposed to look at the hearts of those coming up next. We're supposed to look at our descendants. We're supposed to look at what's coming next. We need to do that. We need to be preparing this next generation. We need to be preparing our children. We need to have our hearts to our children. We need to have our hearts to like Nathaniel. We need to have our hearts like with Laura right now with those kids back there. We need to have our hearts as we have Christmas morn, that they can see a nativity scene and understand what this is really all about. Zechariah asked the angel, good old Zechariah here, "How can I be sure of this? I am old. I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years."
Doubtful.
Doubtful.
I can see how you might be doubtful.
I can see it too. I mean, so the humanness starts kicking in. The doubts start coming together.
If you know science, you might be
Yes, as he knows science, as he understands that he's old, his wife is old, he's trying to teach the angel, right? He's trying to tell the angel how things are. I think the angel understands all these things and more. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." So he is admonished. He has said, it's kind of like when God talked to Job, he says, "Who are you to talk to me? Who are you to tell me the way things should be? I'm the one that formed the mountains. I'm the one that brought the water. And so the angel says to Zechariah, I have spoke to you. So when we have a visitation from an angel, let us understand that they know what they're talking about. But we might be doubtful, and we might need a little admonishment. And it might be, and now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So maybe now there'll be some consequences. And the consequence for Zechariah is he could not speak. He could not speak for months, for close to a year. He had to use a tablet when he finally was going to make an announcement at the temple. When his wife was pregnant and they're going to have the child, and they say, hey Zechariah, hey Elizabeth, what are you going to name him? And remember, he was told what to name him. And so Zechariah takes his little tablet because he can't speak, because he's dealing with the consequences of his doubt, of his unbelief. And he writes on the tablet, John. And he shows it to everybody. And they all like, well, there's no John in your family. Everybody names according to their family back then. There's no John. What do you talk about, John? And all of a sudden, he's able to speak. And if you want to go further in this, read the rest of Luke. Read Zechariah's song. Read Mary's song as they both sing out when they have this prophecy from the angel of what will to be. As you get ready for Christmas, read Zechariah's prophecy. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. He's been in there a while. I wonder if he's coming out. He should have been done with that incense a long time ago. What's happening? We've been praying for him. We're just waiting. Sometimes we just have that waiting period. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we just have to wait. We've got to wait on the Lord. Remember, this is your journey. As you put all these words together, I think you will see your life. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. He's making signs. He's helpless. I'll tell you, I'm a big believer in signs. I see it all the time. God speaks to us in a myriad of ways. He will speak to us. There's a movie where a billboard is speaking to Steve Martin. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a great movie. And God will speak to us on a billboard. God will speak to us with a novel that we're reading. God will speak to us on a radio program, on a television program. God will speak to us as our neighbor talks to us. God will speak to us in a myriad of ways if we open our eyes and see. Right now, God is speaking to us, obviously, through his word. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. So Zechariah goes back home. And the word I had for this was resigned. Have you ever just kind of resigned to it? Just said, you know, well, that's the way it is. That's what's going to be. I'm not going to speak for a while. You know, I saw this angel, and now I'm not going to be able to talk, and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with my wife, and we're supposed to have this child now, and I'm just kind of resigned to, I think I'm pondering a little bit. Maybe like Mary, I'm pondering what is going on here. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. So your word there is pregnant. Yes, even for the guys, pregnant. God impregnates us with vision. He impregnates us with passion. He impregnates us with all the fruit of the Spirit, of the joy, the love, the patience, the long-suffering. God impregnates us with many different things. We need to understand and we need to birth those things. So as we get ready for the birth of Jesus, I implore you to look at the birth that God has got going on in your life right now. What vision is he birthing? What person are you speaking to? Who are you pouring into? What is going on? What is the bigger picture happening in your life? And finally, and I know there's been 20 verses here today, Elizabeth says, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." She is blessed. That's our final word today, is blessed. We are blessed. As we approach Christmas, we are blessed. We are blessed with Jesus. We are blessed with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed with our Father God. We are blessed with this church. We are blessed with our brother and sister next to us. We are blessed with our family. That's where that prayer where we begin with the thanksgiving, we are blessed. And we have a destiny. So what do we do with all this? We got all these words. So I put them all together. Look at this. This is really interesting. I'll tell you, this just came as an idea when I was doing the first verse. It was like, okay, a word came to me. And then I did the next verse, and another word, and another word, and another word. But look at this. We have a heritage. We have all these saints behind us. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. If we are obedient, but we might be challenged, because you know life, this is life. This is life. This is that verse that from Revelation that God is our life. But with her, a servant, we will be chosen. And there are people praying for us. And we will have all kinds of visitations. Just open up our eyes. But when we have them, we're going to get a little fearful, won't we? But we might get some answers. And we might have this, we do have this destiny. And if we allow ourselves to be filled, we'll find our purpose. And we will definitely, part of that purpose, or that purpose will be, like John the Baptist, to prepare others. But we still might be doubtful. You know, they were doubtful. The disciples are doubtful when Jesus was already resurrected and he visits them. They were still doubtful. And we might need a little admonishment. We might need a little putting in place here. And there might be some consequences of that. And we might have to wait, and we're going to get some signs. And all these things happen in my life. And we might just get resigned to it. I think that one happens a lot. We just get resigned to like, oh, well, this is just life. It's just what happens. But then we'll become pregnant. Because God will be birthing a vision. And he did all of this to prepare us for this. And when we finally give birth, just like on Christmas morn, when Jesus comes in the flesh, we will be blessed. So I challenge you, you know, sometimes I'm at conferences and we'll take like a picture of the screen. I'm going to leave it up there. Come take a picture of that screen. Or I'll send it to you in text, because that is your path. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your clarity. We thank you that you've given us a purpose, a path. We thank you that we have all these great people behind us, around us, in front of us. We thank you that you've empowered us. We thank you that we are indeed pregnant with a vision, with a purpose. We thank you that we are like Zechariah, and we might doubt, and we might be challenged. But we will come to that challenge with your power. So, dear Father God, as we get excited, as we anticipate the birth of your Son, as we celebrate this, may we indeed be pregnant just like Mary with the birth of your child. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to close with that song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Isn't that what we want for Christmas? Don't we want to see the Lord? Don't we want to see what He's doing in our lives? Don't we want to help somebody else see that? Don't we want to celebrate with family and friends the birth of our Savior? It's really simple. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to see you. We want to see you high and lifted up. Dear Holy Spirit, we want to breathe you in and breathe you out. Dear Father God, we want to serve you. We thank you that you've made us worthy, our Lord Jesus. As we prepare for Christmas, may we help prepare others to see you. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus.